Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues the series entitled, Preventing Soul Damage. The book of Psalms has provided comfort, faith, and hope to many people in the last 3,000 years. But have you ever considered the man that wrote most of them? King David was a broken man who lived under duress most of his life. So why didn't he succumb to the dark forces and become an evil man like his predecessor? How was he able to guard his soul and prevent it from being damaged? Every human being is exposed to fleshly desires and enticements from evil spirits. So if you have ever been rejected, treated unfairly, and felt like you will never have joy again, this message is for you. It is entitled, Persecuted Without a Cause. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Well, praise the Lord, let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you right now that, Lord, I have spoken and people have listened. And Father God, some people are able to help us out. And I thank you right now that when Monday comes, Lord, we will have enough money to pay the bills that are outstanding. They've got to be taken care of. And I thank you for that. And Father God, now I pray for the sermon that, Lord, just touch us right now. Touch us deeply today as we dig into the Word of God. And I thank you for that now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. If you want to get ready here, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 16. That is 1 Samuel chapter 16. And in our email blast, I wrote this, that I've been in the ministry for 45 years, and I could have never preached this sermon in the beginning of my ministry. Now, the book of Psalms was written about 3,000 years ago. And the book of Psalms is a comfort. I haven't met a Christian yet that does not tell me that the book of Psalms is a great comfort to them. Most of the Psalms were written by King David. And we do not have any real dates when David wrote these. If they were written when he was a shepherd, if they were written when he was a warrior, or when he was a king. We do not know exactly when the Psalms were written. But we're going to look upon David's life today because I'm going to be teaching on preventing soul damage. How to prevent your soul from being damaged. And the title today is Persecution Without a Cause. Now, David was despised as a young teenager. His brothers didn't like him. He was simply looked down upon. After he had slain Goliath, King Saul had him to come into the court and be part of his army. But then King Saul began to hate David. And eventually he was driven out. He came to the Philistines. He fled to the Philistines, became a marauder. And pillaging, stealing, killing many people, plundering. And after that he became king over Judah. And then over Israel. As a king, he walked with God most of the time, but then he became an adulterer and a murderer. David had to flee from his own house. His son Absalom wanted to kill his own father to get the throne. And David, after many years, had to flee from his own son. The sword never left the house of David. And there was continual murder and incest among his children. And at the end of his life, Bathsheba conspired, made sure that Solomon became the next king. Ask this question of what I asked. How can a man with such a twisted life produce songs inspired by the Holy Ghost? Somehow, he was able to overcome all the obstacles and not having his soul damaged, but he was able to finish what God had given him. And I think the greatest compliment in the Bible is when God said that David was a man after his own heart. Why was he so beloved by God? Because David forgave and he forgot. He did not stay in the past. If you turn to 1 Samuel, now chapter 16, verse number 1, we read this. And the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go, and I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided him a king among his sons. Now, David had no desire to become a king. He was a shepherd boy, lived in Judah, but God had selected him. Look at verse number 6 now. And it came to pass when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, surely, the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height and his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord sees not the man sees, for the man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said to Jesse, are here all your children? And he said, there remains yet the youngest. And behold, he keep the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, fair skinned, with all of a beautiful countenance, and God had to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. David now was chosen by God. God didn't tell him, David, you're going to be king one day. He sent Samuel down and he anointed him. He didn't become king right away. You have been selected by God. You have been selected to be born again, to be saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, And I really want you to think with me right now. We have billions of people living on this earth. Most people have never heard about Jesus. Most people will never hear about Jesus. And those in America do not want to hear about Jesus. Of all the billions, you and you and you were selected by God. If you look upon your siblings, your family, how many people in your family are walking with God? Most of them got to say, very few. David, after he had been anointed, he had this assurance, God loves me. You want to prevent soul damage? If you want to prevent soul damage, recognize this. God selected me. God loves me. He has anointed me. I am His. That's the foundation that you stand on. If you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17, time has passed now, and there's war. And in verse 22, we find that David now is sent to the front with some supplies, food. And we read this in verse 22. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. He went and greeted them. How many times have you greeted your brothers and sisters, and they grunt at you? Or they sometimes say, well, what's the big deal? And he talked with them. Behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words that David heard him. And all the men of Israel, when he saw him, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And when he makes to be free in Israel, he will have to pay no more taxes. That was an incentive in those days. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what should be done to the man that kills his Philistine, and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the arms of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that kills him. Now here's a key verse, 28. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the man. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the naughtiness of your heart. For you are come down that you might see the battle. Now, here's David. He's been told by his father, bring up cheese, food, supplies to the army. That's how they supply them, different farmers. He came up. And you can see now that when his older brother attacked him, he talked about pride, naughtiness of heart, which indicate that David had been attacked over and over again. Now, I want you to hear me closely now. If you have a stranger on the street, they call you a bad name, you blow it off. Who cares? But if someone close to you, a sibling, a spouse, a child, a friend, attacks you, it wounds your soul. It hurts. David was able to shake it off. If you read in here, David suddenly came back and rehearsed to the king. And he said, you know, I killed the lion, I killed the bear, I done these different things. David had confidence in the anointing. Try to catch this now. You need to have a confidence in the anointing that God has put upon you as a child of the king. Have that confidence. If you pick it up in verse number 32 now. It's verse number 32. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant would go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you're not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth. He's a man of war from his youth. And David said to Saul, your servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote and delivered it out of his mouth. When he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Your servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defiled the armies of the living God. Begin to rehearse what you have done in your life. Begin to rehearse what you have done. And say, well, God helped me here, and God helped me there. God has strengthened me. Why should I be wounded in my soul? Why should I listen to garbage? I'm not going to take it. Now, Saul said, well, let me give you a sword and the armor and so on. It was too big for him. He couldn't have it. But if you go down to verse number 40, it says this. Well, let me read the verse number 39. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. Now think about this for a few moments. Over my years of preaching, ministering, in seminary, they try to teach me how to do certain things. And over the years, people says, well, you know, you ought to try this and you ought to try that and so on. And I got advice over the last 40 years that if you do this, if you do that, if you do this, you'll be successful. And in the beginning, I was insecure. And I tried to copy Chuck Smith. Doing the word Bible, verse by verse by verse, you know, just like Chuck Smith. Well, that didn't pan out too well for me. I mean, it was all right. But it's not my cup of tea. So I try, you know, different things. You should have seen the suits and the coats that I had over the years. Bright yellow. Red, the crimson. Green. Wild ties. I tried it all. But somehow, you know, I never made it into Charisma and some of the other magazines. And then I realized this. If I be myself, after all, who made me? God did. And if God made me in a certain way, it would probably be better if I function according to God's creation. Now, if you got a little Volkswagen cart, or whatever, golf cart, whatever they call them, golf, I don't know what they call them. And you somebody said, well, I'm going to make a truck out of this. And you take the chassis off, you put on a bigger bed and everything else, and you load it down with 5 tons, that little Volkswagen is not going to go any place. It was never built to be a truck. It will never be a truck. It was built to be cheap transportation. Learn this. Be yourself. Look upon the strength that God has given you. Look upon where you're strong at. And move in that strength. David said, I cannot go with these, for I not prove them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip, and he sling with his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came out and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy, which means was fair. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that you come to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give you flesh of the fowls of the air to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. At this time, David did not remember what his brothers said. He remembered his anointing. This day will the Lord deliver you into my hand, and I will smite you and take your head from you. I will give you the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And then it says in verse number 48, and it came to pass when the Philistine arose and he came tonight to meet David, that David hastened. He ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his back, took then a stone and slung it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk in the forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. That Goliath was shielded all over the place, helmet on, and there was only one spot, and that was right around his eyes. That's the only spot open. I believe that when David slung that stone, that the Holy Ghost or an angel simply propelled it even faster and just made sure it sunk right in. David prevailed, and he simply took down the giant. David was not a trained soldier, but he was a capable young shepherd who had been anointed with the Holy Ghost. There was no pride when he confronted Goliath. Just a calm assurance that this giant was dead meat. I want you to turn away here from Samuel and turn to me to Psalms chapter 2. That Psalms chapter 2. And I believe that this is written when David wrote this psalm. It's Psalm 2, 1 through 12. That this is after he remembered to fight the Goliath. That's Psalms 2:1. Why do the heathen rage? And do people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let them break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sits in heavens shall laugh. The Lord should have him in derision. I want you now to see David, a man. He's writing this. David is saying, God is sitting in heaven on the throne. God is laughing at the kings, the politicians, the big boys. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, you are my son, this day have I begotten you. That is a prophetic word about the coming Messiah. Ask of me, and I shall give you the heathen for thine inheritance. We sing that song. And for the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them in peace like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O you kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. I like the next verse. Kiss the Son as Jesus, lest he be angry and you perish for the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. So we have all these ungodly people around us. All the people that don't want to hear about Jesus. You know, we ought to, from time to time, to simply say this. You know what? You might be a rascal, an unbeliever. You think you're a big this and that. But you better kiss the king. Because someday, you're going to stand in judgment. And you wish you had kissed him. We need to remember who we are. I'm a child of the king. You are a child of the king. You're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. We are no trashy people. We are the children of the king. And we need to begin to walk in that and remember the anointing that God has given us. Turn back now to 1 Samuel. We're going to go to chapter 18 right now. And I'm going to read verses 1 and then 2 and then 5. And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking to Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go more home to his father's house. And then we drop down to verse number 5. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servant. This is the time of prospering. Suddenly now, David, a teenager, had become a commander. He commanded a number of soldiers older than he was. And it was a good time. Now I want you to understand something here now. Timeline. David knew, probably he was about 14, 15 years old, but he was anointed. I'm going to be king. But there is Saul. There's no place for me. When you live your life, who you are today is not necessarily who you're going to be tomorrow. See, that's the wrong assumption we do. We think, well, you know, I'm going to do this the rest of my life. Not necessarily. God will move and change things around. What you do today might not be what you do 2 years from now. God will elevate you. So David now must have been happy years. But you know, Satan will never let you stay happy a long time. You recognize that? You recognize this, that if you have joy in the morning, if you wake up with praise, God, hallelujah, I am joyful. There will be a phone call. Somebody will knock on your door. You will meet someone that simply is going to say, you know, give me your joy. Let me trash you. Get down in the dumps. Well, let's read verses 6 through 8. And it came to pass, as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, with instruments and music. And the women answered one another as they played, and said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can they have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. Let me tell you this. You're going to have people around you that hate you. There are going to be people around you that are jealous. They're going to be jealous of your success. They're going to be jealous of your marriage. They're going to be jealous of how you look, what you drive. There's always going to be those people. And you got to remember to put a shield up so they cannot wound you. I shared an example one time before, but I share it again because I think most of you have not heard it. Let me take you back to about 1978. And we had a church here in town called Christian Life Ministries, just a few blocks away from here. And I had a song leader, Whit Coriel. And when he was a youngster, he bought a Volvo PV544. And then he got married, got children, so he had to get rid of that. But he always wanted a Volvo. But he couldn't afford it. So in 1978, children were gone. He went out and bought himself a brand new Volvo, a 240. Today they are junk, you know, the old cars. And I remember he drove down to church that Sunday. We were on the first floor. He had parked his car right outside the entrance to our church building. And there it sat, waxed, gleaming. And everybody knew that he finally got his Volvo. And you know, there was a sour person in the congregation. Matter of fact, he was an elder, a deacon. So after the service was over, we all went out there and stood around. You know, he was with, you know, praising God, thanking him. You know, finally got a little Volvo, you know, my childhood dreams, you know, da, 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 da. And this guy got up and said, you know what? I want to buy that thing. Matter of fact, if they gave it to him, I want to drive that thing. It's a piece of junk. It's very too expensive to fix, man. Who would like to have a car like that? And I could see Wid. He got wounded badly. You got to learn to protect yourself. When somebody attacks you like that, you got to simply put up a shield. In the name of Jesus, I forgive you for saying that. In the name of Jesus, I reject what you said. In the name of Jesus, I'm not going to receive what you said. And in the name of Jesus, I'm going to keep praising God. That's how you protect yourself. Just take that arrow out and throw it on the ground. If you look now in verse number 9 through 11 in the same chapter, and Saul eyed David from that day and forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul. Now, God does not send evil spirits. He allows them to come. And he prophesied in the midst of the house that David played with his hand, as all the times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David, even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him, and was departed from Saul. Listen, when we begin to do things like this, there will be evil spirits. Look at the people that are attacking you. Look at the people that are starting fights. And in their eyes you can see the evil spirits. And those evil spirits want to seduce you to fight, to get down in the sandbox. When David was sitting there playing the harp for King Saul, and he threw that javelin, got stuck in a wall, David could have simply said, okay. So, okay. Got the javelin, sent to Saul, have it back. But he didn't do that. He didn't defend himself. God protected him. God defended him. And when you attacked, let the Lord defend you. You don't have to stand and give all explanations what you have done and I have not done. Simply said, praise the Lord anyway. Saul did not know what to do about David. Look at verse 12 through 16. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from him, made him a captain of 1,000, and he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself wisely, behaved himself very wisely, not wisely, but very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. Now, here's another very important point. When somebody hurts you, don't gossip. That's the worst you can do. Now, David didn't go out to the captains and said, you know, that lousy King Saul. You know what he did? He threw that spear at me. And you know what he did? He did this and this and that. David never bad-mouthed Saul. Not one time did we read in the Bible that he bad-mouthed him. He simply let God take care of it. Saul schemed one thing after the other, but everything backfired. Look at verse number 17. And Saul said to David, behold my elder daughter, Merab. Her will I give you to wife, only be you valiant for me. And fight the Lord's battles. For Saul said, let not my hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. And David said to Saul, who am I, and what is my life, or my father's family in Israel, that I should be the son-in-law to the king? But it came to pass at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that he was given unto Adriel, the Meholath, to wife. How do you think David felt at that time? He killed Goliath. He was promised the king's daughter. And she was given to somebody else. But again we find that David did not get bitter. He did not get upset. He just let it go. And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David. And he told Saul, and the thing pleased him. And Saul said, I will give him her, that she might be a snare to him, that the hand of the Philistine might be against him. Wherefore Saul said to David, you shall this day be my son-in-law in the one of the twain. And then you can read about here how the king, Saul, connived to kill David. Here's what I wrote in the outline. Instead of becoming bitter and offended, David stayed clean before the Lord. I want you to turn to Psalm 23 right now. That's Psalm 23. Have you read it many times? But I want you to read it now with a background of the man that wrote that psalm. David, the Lord is my shepherd, I should not want. He could say that. The Lord protected him. The Lord is my shepherd, I should not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in a path of righteousness for his namesake. Only a man who has suffered could write this psalm. You have suffered. We've all suffered to some degree. But none of us have really suffered like the people in the Soviet Union or the people in China. Like yesterday, two Chinese pastors were arrested, beaten. And a whole bunch of other people are persecuted. And then look at verse number 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This was written by a man that was a warrior. But also a man that had a lot of grief. And he said, even if I go down in the valley of death, I will fear no evil. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Do you understand that now? Every time God blessed David, it was in the midst of his enemies. And when God is blessing you and me, it's in the midst of our enemies. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I hope that Psalm 23 means a little bit more for you. Now, we know that it's been dissected in different ways and so on. But this was written by a man that walked in a valley of death. David had a chance to kill King Saul. Turn to chapter 26 right now. Chapter 26 of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 26. We're going to pick it up here in verse 1 through 3. And the Ziphites came unto Saul to Gibeah, saying, does not David hide himself in the hill of Hakilah, which is before Jeshimon? Then Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him, to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul pitched in the hill of Hakilah, which is before Jeshimon, by the way. But David abode in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. Now, God here gave David a chance to kill King Saul. If you read in verse number 7, so David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within a trench, his spear stuck in the ground of his bolster, but Abner and the people lay round about him. Then said Abishai to David, God has delivered your enemy into your hand this day. Now therefore, let me smite him, I pray you, with a spear, even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him a second time. He said, I'll kill him. One spear shot. I just spear him once. And David said to Abishai, destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? David said furthermore, as the Lord lives, the Lord shall smite him on his day shall come to die. He shall descend into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed. But I pray you, take you now the spear that is in his bolster, and the cruse of water, and let us go. So David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster, and they got them away. And no man saw it, nor knew it, neither awakened, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep for the Lord was fallen upon them. Let's look upon these verses. I believe that Satan here has simply said, I will tempt David. God had put a sleep on his man. David could have simply said, okay, kill him, and I become king. But I want you to hear this now. David had no bitterness in his heart. David did not feel, I need to revenge myself. I need to take revenge. He said, God will take care of him. And this is what you and I got to do with people that are harassing us. God will take care of them. And when the judgment falls upon them, God will deal with them. But David stayed sweet. Then there was a conversation here, now we're going to read, between David and Saul. And David, in verse 14, cried to the people, and to Abner the son of Ner, saying, answer you not, Abner? Then Abner answered and said, who are you that cried to the king? And David said to Abner, are you not a valiant man? And who is like you in Israel? Wherefore have you not kept the Lord your king? For there came one of the people in to destroy the king your Lord. This thing is not good that you have done. As the Lord lives, you are worthy to die because you have not kept your master, the Lord's anointed. And now see where the king's spear is, and the cruse of water was in his bolster. And Saul knew David's voice, and said, is this not the voice of my son David? And David said, it is my voice, my lord the king. And he said, wherefore does my lord pursue after his servant? For what have I done? What evil is in my hand? You will be persecuted, not because you have done evil, but because you have done good. I learned this years ago, that the more we do for people, the more they hate you. As a pastor, we've helped people many years. Helped them with furniture, cars, food, whatever it is. And I learned this, that the people we invested in the most dislikes us. And the people I've done very little for some reason they like us. It's jealousy. People like to receive, but at the same time, they simply feel angry that they have to receive at your hand. David said, what have I done? Why do I deserve to be chased by 3,000 soldiers? What's my crime? Your crime, King David, or David, is this. You haven't done anything evil. That's your crime. And then David said, now therefore I pray you, let my Lord the King hear the words of his servant. If the Lord has stirred you up against me, let him accept an offering. But if they be the children of men, cursed be they before the Lord. For they have driven me out this day from binding inheritance of the Lord, saying, go serve other gods. Here's what David said. Did God tell you to chase me? If that's the case, let's go and talk to God and have an offering. Have men gossiped, they be cursed. Because they told him, go and serve other gods. Now therefore, let not my blood fall to the earth before the face of the Lord. For the king of Israel is come out to seek a flea, as one does hunt the partridge in the mountains. Then said Saul, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do you harm, because my soul was precious in your eyes this day. Behold, I have played a fool, and have erred exceedingly. David answered and said, behold, the king's spear. Let one of the young men come over and fetch it. The Lord render to every man his righteousness, his faithfulness. For the Lord delivered you to my hand today, but I will not stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed. And behold, as your life was much set by this day in my eyes, so let my life be much set by in the eyes of the Lord. Let him deliver me out of all tribulation. Then Saul said to David, blessed be you, my son David. You shall both do great things and also shall prevail. So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place. Now, David stood there with clean hands. His soul was not bitter. He had refused to be wounded. And because of that, he could speak these words to the man that sought his life. Look upon a summary. David overcame evil with good. God removed King David, King Saul eventually, and put David on the throne. But let's turn right now to Luke chapter 6. That's Luke chapter 6. The Gospel of Luke chapter 6. And to see what Jesus, the standard he has for you and me today. I did not write this. Jesus spoke these words. He said this. But I say to you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Let's go back up to verse 27. But I say to you which hear, love your enemies. What does that mean? It doesn't mean you love their sins. But you love them as people. You pray for their salvation. When somebody is cursing you, you don't curse back. And unto him that smites you in the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that takes away your cloak, forbid him not to take your coat also. The Romans had a right in those days to take away the clothing of other people. And Jesus, if they do that, just give them the rest of what you have. Give to every man that asks of you, and of him that takes away your goods. Ask them not again. This is your word that men should do to you. do you also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good. Lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be you therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Those are tough verses to read. But this is what I wrote here on the last page of my outline. God is merciful, and he wants his children to be merciful. You can't be merciful and angry. Look what I wrote here. When you are merciful, you cannot be bitter. When you are merciful, you cannot be offended. When you are merciful, your soul cannot be damaged. When you are merciful, you cannot hate, but only give love. Jesus said in verse 36, be you therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. We read a couple of psalms here today that David wrote. Now David had all the rights in the world to be angry. He had all the rights in the world to simply say, you know, this king does not deserve to be king. We're going to take him down. He had a right to talk about it. But David simply said, my soul is not going to be wounded. You understand now why God said that David is a man after my own heart. King Solomon was not. He was rejected. King Saul was rejected. Isn't it amazing now that in the Bible we read that Jesus sat upon the throne of David. Jesus came out of lineage out of David. If David would have gone a different way, he would never become a king. Jesus would have never come out of his lineage. And the Psalms would never have been written by King David. What about you? I started out. This is how you stay strong. You know that you are anointed. Simply daily proclaim, I'm a child of the King. I'm washed in the blood, on my way to heaven, shouting victory. God loves me. I'm anointed. I don't have to explain to anyone who I am. I don't have to apologize to anyone. And then, read those four things I had here. Let me again read them to you again. When you are merciful, you can't be bitter. When you love somebody and help somebody out, you can't be bitter. When you're merciful, you can't be offended. There's no way. You're so wrapped in love and being merciful, there's no time to be offended. When you're merciful, your soul cannot be damaged. When you're merciful, you cannot hate, but only give love. Now, this is true. Sometimes we need some help. And I talked about this book by Anita Barker. And one of the things that was a soul damage to me that I had not really realized. Not my fault. And it was simply this. My mom and dad were dating. Mom was only 18 years old. She got pregnant. And this is 1938, different time. You got pregnant out of wedlock, you know, man, you had it. And as I read, being born out of wedlock, suddenly the Lord just showed to me the grief that my mother had, the fear. I know what my aunt said about my mother, how they put her down over the years. And here I was in her womb. In those days, she didn't have abortions. And I'm sure that she, my dad and her would have said, you know, man, you got pregnant, I'll be doing that boy was not, that child would not be there. I was not welcomed. I was an unwelcome child. And that had created a wound in my soul that I did not even know. And when I read this book, Way Out, I said, wow, that's me. I just laid the book down. All myself, and just sat there and I said, God, I'm going to pray about this. I want a healing, Lord. I understand my mom. She's just a teenager. I'm not angry with her. I'm not angry with my dad. I forgive them. But Lord, heal my soul that's been wounded before I even was born. You know what happened? A great calm came upon me. And a balm came over me. And I cannot explain it. But right now, I feel so much more whole than I did before. You see, we have been wounded many times. We don't even know it. And a book like that is like a plow. You just plow the field and you find all the boulders in there. And then you can simply say this. I'm not going to be offended anymore. I'm just going to be merciful, loving, and kind. And when you do that, you sleep well at night. Your meals are eaten with peace and harmony. And you have a spring in your steps, a joy in your soul, knowing this, I'm a child of the King. I don't have to be offended. Isn't that great? I don't have to be offended anymore. Because they speak bad about me, I simply think, my Heavenly Father, take that away. I don't need to hear that. I reject it. And I forgive you that spoke that. That's the key. Let's stand. My Heavenly Father, I want to praise you and thank you that, Lord, I was conceived out of wedlock, a bastard. But Father God, you love me so much that you gave your only begotten Son for me. And you called me by name. And I thank you for that. And Father God, I pray for every man, woman, boy, and girl listening right now, watching. That Father God, they would feel the love of God. Let them feel that they are selected, anointed by the Holy Ghost. And help us, Lord, to give our hurts and pains to you. To be healed in the name of Jesus. If you're watching, listening, and you're not even saved, you say, well, where do I stand? God loves you so much that right now, all you have to do is to simply say this, my Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe. Forgive me my sins. Forgive me. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross. I believe he rose on the third day. Forgive me. Jesus, come on in. Come on in, Jesus, and be my Lord and Savior. And he will. And you can have that abundant life. Thank you, my Heavenly Father, for touching that person right now. And if you pray that prayer, call us, write us. If you're here, come and talk to us. But most of all, let the love of God wash you today and heal you in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. The altars have opened. If you are here and you want to be prayed for, whatever it is, maybe you need a healing. Maybe you want to be anointed. Elders and deaconess are here. You come. And if you're watching us, call us, write us, and we will respond to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: Earth, Heaven, and Hell. So when we die here on Earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, Heaven or Hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the second part in the series, Preventing Soul Damage, and was entitled, Persecuted Without a Cause. The book of Psalms has provided comfort, faith, and hope to many people, but have you ever considered David, the man that wrote most of them? He was a broken man who lived under duress most of his life. So why didn't he succumb to the dark forces and become like Saul? David overcame evil with good because he realized it was God who makes us righteous and delivers us from our enemies. He was constantly exposed to fleshly desires and enticements from evil spirits, but he was merciful and did not become offended, bitter, or full of hate. It was David's mercy that hindered his soul from being damaged. So if you have ever been rejected, treated unfairly, and felt like you will never have joy again, go to God for a healing. Because only He can set you free. Remember, it is not so important how you begin your life after salvation, but how you finish it. This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1286. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.